The first reading today, we hear God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to the shepherds of his people, the leaders of his people, and he says, "Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord." Remember, the Latin word for shepherd is pastor. That's the task of the pastor, is to lead the people to God. The struggle that any pastor is going to have is severalfold. The biggest one is that he's human. He wants to be liked. He wants to be thought of well. And so we have pastors who want to sit around and tell jokes. They want to stand up and tell you how wonderful you are. They want to tell you how great you are. You're the best. There's nobody better than you. That plays into the next problem that pastors have. That is, they have to pay the bills. They're responsible for paying the mortgage and doing all the things, and so they want to make sure that they're only going to say the things that aren't going to upset anybody, because they might not put as much money in the collection basket. Or if they're being entertained, then they'll put more money in the collection basket. Thankfully, God in his providence has decided that I would never be a pastor. So I don't have to worry about those things. I don't care if you don't like me, and I don't care about how much money you put in the basket. Father Record might, but I don't. I have one concern: your soul. That's the only thing I care about. Well, mine too. I don't care about your money. I don't care if you're my friend. But when I stand before the Lord one day, he's going to ask, did I lead his people to heaven? Did I bring his people closer to him? That's what's going to be important. That's the task of the pastor. And so although I'm not a pastor, I still have the same responsibility to preach the truth, because that's what I'm ordained for. The Lord made very clear to us that the way that leads to perdition is wide and smooth and easy. And it's a whole lot easier to listen to. And quite frankly, it would be a whole lot easier to stand up here and tell you all kinds of fun, exciting, wonderful things week after week. And then I'd have to answer to the Lord for not speaking the truth to you. And then there are those that will speak the truth, just not all of it, because the truth can be kind of offensive sometimes. It can make us uncomfortable. And so we'll lead you about halfway or two-thirds of the way down the pier, but we're not going to lead you all the way, because we're afraid. Once again, God's going to say, okay, you led the people part way, but you didn't give them the whole truth. Jesus is the truth. And thankfully for all of us, as we heard in the first reading, he's the shepherd. God's going to raise someone up who is going to shepherd his people. And so even the human shepherds still have to follow the divine shepherd. He's laid out the path for us. We don't have to try and reinvent it. We don't have to try and get cute. All we have to do is walk behind Jesus. It is just that simple. But it's not just that easy. Because we heard in the second reading from St. Paul exactly what that's going to be. Talks about how Jesus is our peace. He broke down the enmity that stands between us and God, and so on. And that he says that he established peace that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, which put that enmity to death. Through the cross. That's where we have to go. That's not a fun message for most people. That's not an easy message to hear. I could stand up here and preach the gospel of health and wealth that I condemn over and over and over again, but I could do that. I could stand up here and say, God just wants your life to be so easy and so wonderful. You believe in Jesus. He did all the suffering for you. You don't have to. If I could find any place in Scripture where it even hints at that, I'd be happy to stand here and tell you that. But I haven't ever found it. And I'm not going to stand here and lie to you, because that's a violation of your dignity. And if you buy the lie that I would tell you, you would think that that's what's the truth. God just wants everything easy. He doesn't want you to have to carry the cross. Even though he said, if you're going to be my follower, you have, you're my disciple, you have to take up your cross and follow me. But, you know, again, we can learn how to ignore passages like that that are inconvenient. But the problem is that they're the truth. And they're the means to that peace that St. Paul talked about. They're the means to that reconciliation that he talked about. And so not only would I be lying to you if I stood up here and said something like that, but it would actually rob you of what's going to fulfill you. Now that sounds insane, doesn't it? I've been accused of that by many people over the years, so it's okay. You can think I'm nuts too. I take consolation in the fact that Jesus' family thought that he was crazy too, so that's okay. But we have 2,000 years of saints who teach us the way to peace. And it's not the way that the world is telling us. The more that we compile, the more stuff that we have, the less peace we have, the less joy we have. You know, I've told you this before, but it bears repeating, because it was such a profound thing for me to see. I'm part of a group that raises money for handicapped orphans in India. The IRS requires that we go over there every once in a while to make sure that where we're telling people the money is going is where it's really going. So the first time I went to India, it was poverty. There were literally people living in abandoned sewer pipes. There were people living under tarps. When you got to thatched huts, that was getting up there a little ways. They had a thatched hut. When you saw somebody with a house, I mean, these were pretty wealthy people. There was one place that I saw, one house that had glass in the windows. One. That was a university president. He had glass in the windows. No one else did. They cooked with wood that they brought in through the kitchen. They didn't have stoves, they didn't have all the stuff we've got. They had nothing. And I can honestly tell you, I have never in my life seen so many joy-filled people. Ever. So beautiful. So much joy. They had nothing. I went back 10 years later, and the joy was gone. And I said to the priest over there, I said, Father, what happened to the joy? I said, when I was here 10 years ago, there was so much joy. And he said, oh, the government decided there were so many people converting to Christianity that in order to keep them Hindu, they started giving them things which they never did before. So now people had bikes and they had cell phones and they had different things that the government handed out. And they didn't have joy anymore. But they had cell phones. And I remember how profound that lesson was for me. To see these people who were suffering so much, these most of them aren't Christian. They had nothing, and they suffered, and they had joy. And so we look at ourselves and we say, okay, if it's through the cross that Jesus established peace, then it's through the cross that we're going to be at peace. Not all these things that lead us away from the cross, but from the cross itself. If we want peace, we need to be united with Jesus, who is our peace. But we're not going to be united with Jesus by flinging ourselves into the materialism of the world. We're going to be united with Jesus only when we're with him on the cross. That's what this life is about. We know it doesn't end with the cross. The cross is the means to eternal life. The cross is the means to heaven, and we're not going to get there any other way, which is exactly the problem. If I stood up here and told you about the gospel of health and wealth, I'm keeping you from heaven. I'm keeping you from the means to get to eternal life. That's why it would not just be a lie, but it would be something that is a violation of your dignity. You're made for the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. And so we have an obligation as pastors to preach the truth. And it's not always easy to hear. But it is always the best. And so each one of us really has to ask the question, do I want that? Do I want the truth? Do I want the freedom that comes only in Jesus Christ? We look at these people in the gospel. They were so desperate to hear the truth that Jesus was speaking that when he got in a boat to be able to go to the other side of the lake, they ran ahead. They went around the lake and got there before him just so that they could listen to him. And even though his apostles were exhausted and Jesus is saying, come aside and rest a while, what did he do? He started preaching to them. His heart was moved with pity for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. We have a shepherd. Yes, we have human shepherds, but the fact is we have our divine shepherd, the one who came into this world and has led us to heaven. The one who is truth itself, and so therefore he can do nothing but preach the truth. And consequently, he shows the rest of us what we have to do. We have to preach Jesus Christ. There are way too many who preach themselves. Nobody except Jesus can save you. Nobody. If Father Groovy is going to stand up and preach about himself, maybe it's fun, maybe it's funny, maybe it's exciting, maybe it's more pleasant, but it's not going to lead you to heaven. Only Jesus will. And so if the human pastor isn't following the divine pastor, then break ranks and get with the one who's going to preach the truth, but the one who's going to preach Jesus Christ. And as St. Paul made very clear, Jesus Christ crucified. That's where our salvation comes from. The salvation didn't come from any of the miracles Jesus worked. Our salvation, even though we hear about him teaching the people, our salvation didn't come from anything that he preached. Our salvation comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and only through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. which is why St. Paul says that he would preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He talked about that. He said it was a scandal to the Jews, and it was a stumbling block to the Greeks. But for those on the way to salvation, it's the power of God. It's the means of salvation. So that's what every one of us now needs to look at and ask ourselves, do I want the cross? Do I want the truth? Do I want the hard truth? Even though it's not always easy to listen to, do I want to be challenged to grow in holiness? Do I want to do better? Do I want to be conformed to Jesus Christ? And if I am, then it's going to be what I was baptized into, which is the death and resurrection of the Lord. That's conformity to Jesus. He's the Christ only because of the cross. We wouldn't be able to say he was the Christ if he didn't die and rise from the dead. So it's one thing if you want to follow a false Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, who is the Christ, that's going to lead us up the path to Calvary. It's a rough and a narrow path. It's not fun, it's not easy, but it's freedom and it's peace and it's joy because it's truth and it's love. That's what you were created for. That's what he wants for you. So he's the one God raised up because the human shepherds were not doing what they were supposed to do. So he sent the divine shepherd, and we even heard that in the responsorial psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he? Is he the one you're following? Because he's the only means to heaven. There is no other. He made that very clear. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we live in a day where we think everybody goes to heaven, or where there are all kinds of different paths that go to heaven. There aren't. There is one and only one, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if that's where we want to be able to be, in heaven with God, then it means we have to take that path that Jesus laid out for us, to take up our cross and follow him, to be willing to be crucified with him so that we can rise with him, to embrace the truth, to embrace the charity, and to be able to live that in our lives. That's what this is all about. That's what he made us for, that's what he redeemed us for, and that's what he has called us to. And so if that's what we want to be about, and that is what it means to be a Christian person, then we need to reject everything that leads us against it and away from it and embrace the truth with charity and live it by going to the cross and through the cross to eternal life.